This is MSONewsSports.com. I'm Bill Newell. We are joined by Lynn City Councilor at Large, Brian LaPierre. Brian, welcome. Always good to talk with you, and thanks for coming back.
Hi, Bill. It's always great to be with you.
All right. We got the introduction done. Wasn't easy. All right. So, Brian, let's just jump to a couple of quick topics here. One of the topics I was thinking of talking about today was the superintendent search, but then again, I wasn't sure how much was new in to report on that. But there is an important meeting scheduled for tonight in Lynn. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so as you know, Deb Ruggiero is the acting superintendent for the Lynn Public Schools, replacing Dr. Patrick Tutwiler. And there has been a search by the school committee put together. It's going to be head up by the school committee representative who is leading that search. And they're actually looking for community input. There's going to be a number of stakeholders that have been appointed on the search committee to find our next superintendent, which is great because it's super early. This school year just beginning. We want to have someone in place. I was talking to the mayor last week about the process, and it's a very open and transparent process. Glenn Cuccio will be running the search from the school committee, the Mass Association of School Committees. And tonight in Lynn, at Lynn City Hall, right in our historic Lynn Auditorium at 6 o'clock, the public can learn more about the process, perhaps meet some of the search committee members on the team, and they will outline the process and the timeline, which is super important for our new superintendent to take the helm. At some point, they've already put out the criteria the committee has adopted for this search, and when that application process goes live, and so forth, it will be throughout this school year. The goal is, of course, to have someone in place by the end of the school year, so they're able to get their feet wet and be on the ground learning for the next fall, when obviously the fall of 23-24 school year. So that's an exciting opportunity for us, Bill, and we're excited to be a part of that.
Yeah, obviously big shoes to fill, as we've talked about before, with Dr. Tutwiler leaving. And so, Brian, this process is a lengthy process for sure, as people know about superintendent searches. But you guys want to get it right, I'm sure. And Mayor Nicholson is heading that process, I understand. Yeah.
Yes, for sure. And, the committee, if you wait till winter and spring, it's too late. So you'd rather get ahead of it and get the qualified candidates who are thinking about leaving other districts and so forth, and put their applications in and then interview and do site visits and everything. As you said, it's a pretty comprehensive search.
You got it. Okay. And a meeting there tonight for some input. ARPA funds. So this is the money that the city gets, the state gets from the federal government for projects. And so tell me about this process. I know it's been in the news, but what's the latest on some additional money that Lynn has available?
Yes, so obviously a one-time shot infusion of federal dollars to help on capital improvement, sustainable sort of projects, as you mentioned. These are sort of not used for one-time fixes, but more, sustainable as for maintenance and improvements. And we've spent a lot so far on parks and on housing, affordable housing, and small business grants and so forth. About $3 million of that in the city of Lynn helped almost 500 small businesses stay in operation. But this is round two now, Bill, and we have about $25 million left, I believe, from our ARPA funds granted to the city. They must be used by the end of 25-26, and they must be projected to be used. So what we're now asking community stakeholders to put in their applications, it's an application-based system. They should be getting those applications in this month in order to be considered for their proposal. And everything is online in the City of Lynn's website, cityoflynn.org, and they have an ARPA link there that will bring you exactly to the application process, all the deadlines, all of the needs that are out there, and what our folks want to around the residents of our community want to be proposing in terms of funding for the next round. Now, knowing there's probably going to be hundreds of millions of dollars that people are requesting, and we only have $25 million to spare, only, but we also know that a lot of people will not get funded, unfortunately. It's just how the process is and the needs. And it's everything's looked at very carefully by the council, by the mayor. And we try to fund programs that are going to go the longest, furthest, and have the biggest bang for the buck, so to speak. So the second round of opera application, and we've had some folks help us on the consulting end, and Don Castle, who's our opera liaison in the city, have been very helpful in informing us. And I'd be remiss if I didn't thank Councilor Brian Field, Councilor at Large Field, my colleague who's kept the council abreast of as a liaison to the opera funds and what the uses are going to be and what the deadlines are. So away we go with opera round two.
So if MSO News Sports wants to apply, doing this interview can't hurt, right? Right, Brian?
Everyone's welcome to apply.
No. All right. All right. MBTA station and garage. There's some news in the last few days, right?
Yeah, there is, actually, Bill. You know, when we last left, things were very dire. And working with the Senator Crichton, who's done a really terrific job, Brendan Crichton up at the State House, and Mayor Nicholson, and really the whole State House delegation, putting pressure on MBTA, rightfully deserved. Remember back, they were going to close this garage in the summer when no one was watching, and they shut it down for 3 years without any remedies or mitigations in place. I'm happy to report, it still saddens me that the garage needs a whole overhaul, but it's a safety issue. It did shutter its doors on October 1st, but in place, at least for now, is commuters can benefit from a shuttle that will take them from the Lynn Garage over to Swampscott's train station, and they'll be paying the same fare, essentially, as the rate. It's a cheaper rate to go from Lynn to North Station. This time, they'll honor the Lynn rate. We did not have those remedies in place prior to this summer, so I really commend the mayor and the state delegation for their work on this and trying to make a terrible situation palatable. It's still not a great answer to any of this. 3 years is an awful long time. We understand the garage is in desperate disrepair and in need of repair. It's dilapidated, and it's been around 30 years, and it wasn't built well in the beginning. It certainly structurally is not built well now, and it just needs aesthetic improvements, structural improvements, and technology and handicap accessibility issues as well. So we have to get the work done. I should say the state has to get this work done. We are just pleased that there are at least things in place now to make it that much more palatable for our commuters every day.
Yeah, excuse the description, but at least there is a concrete response here, which isn't the worst, I guess, from the way things looked before. But Brian, also the train station itself is closed too at this point, right?
Yes, that is correct. Not just parking, but yeah, the station itself. Yeah,
and that platform.
Longer.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And that platform, they could come up with a temporary remedy at some point. I understand, but maybe not.
That's my understanding as well. But 3 years is an awful long time when you're looking at, you know, a 2025 reopening.
All right, let me just jump to maybe one other topic here with you, Brian, and that would be your human rights resolution that went before the council and passed. So tell me about that. And that was just recently?
Yes, just back in our September meeting, I had proposed a non-binding resolution to the council around No Place for Hate, and Lynn being the city of very diverse and eclectic population and really pro-human rights. A number of communities have done this around the country. As we see sort of some of the spewing of hatred and hate crimes and the things of that nature, I wanted our Lynn community to know that, at least in the council chamber with its elected officials, that we really put a precedent on love and peace and harmony, and that we want to teach our children. I have two young boys, Bill, and, you know, they go to school in Lynn and in the public schools, and they come home every day with new friends that they have made, or a very diverse and understanding of different cultures and religions and faith and LGBTQ community trends and things of that nature. Very accepting. And I think what we did as a council was put forth this resolution. It passed unanimously, which is terrific. It just made a statement that we, and it ended up getting a really good, strong accolades from a lot of community groups and organizers and so forth, and residents themselves. We're making a statement that Lynn is no place for hate. If we see it, we are not going to condone it, and we are going to nip it in the bud, so to speak. Unlike other communities, you have seen some real overpasses of using a Nazi symbol at times to say that 911 was called by was done by Jewish folks and so forth. We wanted to dispel all of that in our city and make it the welcoming city that it has been and that we hope it always will be.
All right, Brian. I actually want to broach one more topic with you here. I saw on Twitter like about a month ago something that you posted on Emma Sands, the actress, and she's in, I guess, General Hospital. But maybe tell me a little bit about how does a Lynn City Councilor all of a sudden get involved with Emma Sands from General Hospital? What's the details here, Brian?
I knew you'd find a way to sneak this in, Bill. And so as long as my wife, Kelly, doesn't hear me or this interview with you, but I think I'm safe. But so I've had a long time.
No, Brian, no one's listening. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
I've had a long time crush, my celebrity crush, you know, not Kim Kardashian, but Emma Sams in the 80s. She was on Dynasty and the Colbys and has had a recurring part as Holly Sutton and Holly Scorpio on General Hospital. Guilty pleasure. I watched General Hospital with my wife, with my mom. I've been a fan since the Luke and Laura wedding days. And I'm so pleased to announce, and I happened to meet her before the pandemic over in Somerville at a General Hospital meet and greet back in 2018. And we took a photo together. So what better way to inspire the cast member returning to General Hospital on October 19th, playing her award-winning part is actress Emma Sams playing Holly Sutton. So I thought it was appropriate for me to tweet that I welcome her back with open arms, and my crush lives on television, and I can't wait to tune in later this month to see her in action.
All right. That's on at noontime or 1, isn't it? Something like, no, at 1 o'clock.
I DVR it. I don't know. I think the real time is 2 to 3 in the afternoon. I'm working then, but I'm a faithful watcher with my wife around 5:30, and we even have my 15-year-old son, Owen, watching with us at times, just for that little piece of drama in our lives every day.
Oh, my gosh. Those poor children. But that's great. That's fantastic. So there you go. All right, Brian, thanks so much for the time. And I'm just excited about General Hospital too now. There you go.
Well, you're going to have to be a new viewer, Bill. Absolutely.
It seems like it's kind of like joining 70 years into the program seems a little bit late, doesn't it?
Yeah, they did just celebrate their 16th anniversary. You're never too late to join a soap opera. You can join tomorrow when the storyline doesn't change too much.
There you go.
Right up on it.
All right. There he is, city councilor at large television, I don't know what you would be, but aficionado, Brian LaPierre.